Does your church need a backup organist? The Virtual Organist service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.
The Catholic Church is one of hypocrisy, and because of what I heard in the confessional, I decided to engage in the debate.
Por exemplo, tive vários jovens.
The Catholic Church has to change. We know now, because of scientific discovery, a great deal about human sexuality, for example.
Speaking through a translator, that's Roberto Francisco Daniel. He is a former Catholic priest in Brazil. He's in the news, of course, because the Pope is in Brazil, but in April, he was actually excommunicated for his views on sexuality. He says he came to these views and he began to protest the church's views on sexuality because what he was hearing in the confessional from his parishioners. Joining us to talk about the excommunication of this Roman Catholic priest in Brazil, Helen Hull Hitchcock. She's founding director of a Catholic women's organization based in St. Louis called Women for Faith and Family. Helen, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Thanks. Good to be with you.
Maybe I'm wrong, but isn't it an extraordinarily rare thing for a Catholic priest to be excommunicated?
It is pretty rare. It doesn't happen very often. It's more frequent that a priest who no longer believes what the Catholic Church teaches withdraws himself, resigns. But in this case, apparently, from the news stories that I read about Padre Beto, he was repeatedly warned by the church to stop making these views, which conflict with Christian teaching, public, and to straighten up. But he didn't do it. So, therefore, eventually they did excommunicate him. Now, the church views excommunication as, I would say, medicinal. It's a pretty strong medicine, but it's a real warning that you really, really need to change your views or, you know, you're in a serious situation, serious spiritual situation. But it is pretty rare.
Now, if he's excommunicated, does that mean he has, for lack of a better term, does that mean he's been defrocked along with it? Are the two effectively the same in the case of a priest?
Effectively the same. There are two separate processes, and a priest can be defrocked, as they say, which means told that he can no longer practice his priesthood without being excommunicated. But this excommunication does, he obviously is not able to function as a Catholic priest.
So what were the views, in a nutshell, that Robert Francisco Daniel, as you mentioned, also known popularly as Padre Beto, what kind of views was he espousing contrary to the church's teaching?
Well, from what I understand it, and he's not alone in this, there is a fairly highly publicized contingent of Catholic priests and others who publicly dissent from the church's teachings. That is, from basic Christian moral teachings is mainly it. And when that happens and they go public with it, then that causes the authorities in the church to say, look, what's going on here? This person is misleading people into thinking that the Christian doctrinal and moral teachings, in his case it was about essentially about marriage, although it didn't say in any news stories I read what he thought about other key moral issues that are, you know, fundamental to Christian belief. But his views on sexual relationships and homosexual marriage and things related to that issue were, apparently he was going on YouTube and just preaching, you know, dissent from the church's teaching. So they really had no alternative.
Well, I mean, you're certainly right that he's not alone in these views. You don't have to walk very far down the streets of, say, a New York City avenue to run into sometimes very highly placed, in a lot of cases, elected officials who claim to be devout, serious Roman Catholics who hold exactly the same views as Padre Beto.
That's true. And it exists within other Christian communities, too, as we very well know. The Episcopal Church has had a lot of problems with this. But the thing is that, it creates dissension and disruption within, the body of Christ. And so this, in the case of the Catholic Church, church authorities who defend the church's teaching can step in and actually do something about it. That's one of the things that I think a lot of people who are conservative Christians, you might call it, lack of a better word, Christians who believe in the core Catholic teachings and core teachings of Christianity from biblical times on, we all have a real task in confronting the culture that we live in today.
Now, let's talk a little bit about some speculation that may arise on account of this. Of course, Pope Francis is in Brazil for World Youth Day. Some might suggest that this excommunication took place in advance of his visit in order to spare him kind of the possible public embarrassment of something that Padre Beto might say in the press or say in some other forum on the occasion of the Pope's visit to Brazil.
Well, they couldn't have, as far as the media is concerned, they couldn't have done a better job than to the kind of hostility to the church that this is expressing to publicize this is not exactly friendly in a way to what the Pope is trying to do there. It seems almost, maybe I'm sounding a little cynical here, but to publicize an event like this that took place over months, years, at the time that the Pope is in Brazil, seems like it was calculated to create the biggest stir as possible.
Oh, so rather than the excommunication timed for the Pope's visit, the coverage of the excommunication that actually occurred April of this year, timed for the Pope's visit, is that what you're saying?
Well, Not exactly. What I'm saying is that the publicity about this is today.
Yeah.
Not last April, or not 2 years ago when this guy was carrying on the same way. You know, when he was doing his YouTube stuff and preaching dissent from fundamental Christian teaching. That was not. We didn't read about that until today.
It's part of the kind of wishful thinking on the part of especially the American media, and they made it so obvious when Pope Francis was first elevated that he was going to somehow represent a new age of more reflective of the culture's mores on social and moral issues than his predecessors. Do you see a little bit of wishful thinking at work here?
Well, definitely. You may know that Pope Francis just issued an encyclical on faith. It was released on the 5th of July, and that in that encyclical on faith, he makes it fundamental that the faith is grounded in the teachings of the Christian Church, and that it's not separable from that. That you can't have one without the other. So you can't just create your own faith and go out and create your own morals like this guy did, this Padre Beto fellow. You can't create your own thing. Truth is truth, and it abides in truth. And in Pope Francis's encyclical issued this month, he makes that very, very clear.
One of the things that's being quoted in the press, again from National Public Radio, they summarize Father Beto's objections to his excommunication, saying Father Beto says he fell afoul of the ultra-conservative elements in the church who are outraged by his opinions. I'd like your response to that.
Well, they are probably quoting him correctly. He probably said that. But this is when you were disputing and publicly confronting and objecting to fundamental Christian teachings that have been the case from the beginning. That's not just ultra conservatives who believe in Christian teachings. That is, you know, mainstream Christians. Use of the word ultra conservative, of course, was kind of a politically loaded term, I think, and probably chosen for that reason, so that anybody who doesn't agree with Padre Beto and his own interpretation of what he thinks that truth is somehow an ultra-conservative, and that's absurd.
Father Beto says he's still a devout Catholic, and he says he stands by his priestly vows, intends to administer at a same-sex wedding at the earliest opportunity. Sounds like this is an example of simply a rogue priest at this point who really no longer has the priestly authority.
That's true. And how can he say that he's a devout Catholic? Devout really means devoted to Catholic teachings. And obviously, he's not only not devoted to Catholic teachings, but he's not devoted to basic Christian morality. So how he can say that he's a devout anything remotely related to the Catholic Church or to Christianity, I'm not exactly sure.
Helen Hull Hitchcock is founding director of a Catholic women's organization based in St. Louis called Women for Faith and Family. We will post a link to Women for Faith and Family under the Listen On Demand page at issuesetc.org. Helen, thank you for the few minutes you gave us here.
Thank you very much.
When we come back, we're going to get a live update from the 65th Regular Convention of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod meeting this week in St. Louis. Molly Ziegler-Hemingway, a reporter in Washington, D.C., and a contributor to GetReligion.org, will join us live from the America Center in St. Louis, the site of the LCMS convention. We'll be right back.
For 20 years, we've lifted our voices and instruments to the hymns of Stephen Starkey. Now, CPH has the first ever CD collection of Pastor Starkey's works titled, We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God. This 12-track CD includes nearly an hour of music from the most beloved Lutheran hymn writer of our time. Order now. Use promotion code URA. We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God is only $15.99. CPH.org.
Does your church need a full-time or backup organist? The Virtual Organist Service from Church Music Solutions is genuine organ leadership using your instrument with your specific selections when you need it. You can try it out for free with our demo unit, which allows you and your members to hear and see the virtual organist without obligation and without a sales pitch. For more details, go to churchmusicsolutions.com.
Solid, serious, substantive. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Do you have a student finishing up eighth grade at a Lutheran school? Do you wish there were a Lutheran high school close to where you live so your student could continue going to a Lutheran school? What if there was an opportunity for high school students in public or Lutheran school to take classes like Latin, logic, and hard-hitting theology courses? Well, there is. It's called Wittenberg Academy, the first completely online classical Lutheran high school. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
It was the day after Christmas in 1538 when family and friends who were gathered around Luther's table heard him say, "There is no finer gift that a parent can give to a child than an education in the liberal arts." For over 100 years, St. Paul's Lutheran School in Brookfield, Illinois, has been emphasizing the six chief parts and the seven liberal arts, providing classical education in the Lutheran tradition. Visit our website at spbrookfield.org or call 708-485-0650.